Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world.
13th Zoom call for the grassroots Emergency Election Protection Coalition. Convening, I'm Harvey Sluggo Wasserman. I'm one of your conveners. Joel Siegel is at another meeting talking about Black Lives Matters and will join us when he's done there. We are going to talk about our new slogan, Souls to the Polls Begins Now. We're going to talk Ray Lutz and John Breaker are going to get fill out. We have had 12 90-minute sessions on the workings, the inner workings of the upcoming election. And the last piece, of course, is auditing and post-election contention, because we are 100% certain that however the election goes, it will be challenged. And we will need people in the polling stations to deal with the vote count. We will talk with Ray and John about audits, and Mimi Kennedy will join us also and talk about how the votes will be counted. Steve Rosenfeld, who should be joining us, will talk about the new piece he has at Ballot Box on ballot boxes and deposits where people can. We are urging people, if you do, God willing, actually get a ballot in the mail, which will be a miracle. We are urging people not to mail them back, but to walk them into the election polls, which is what I did last election in LA. I got my ballot, I filled it out, and on Sunday, not on Tuesday, and I did not wait till Tuesday, on Sunday, I walked it in. There I was greeted, they looked it over, made sure everything was right, and that's how I put in my ballot. We are urging people not to mail them back, but to walk them into your election center. And we are hoping the election centers will be in the arenas. And we do not want people to mail them back unless you really have to. We want you to walk them in.
And Stephen is with us, by the way.
Oh, good. Steve, I will get to you on your piece, excellent piece on ballot box, about ballot boxes. We're gonna talk a bit about the impact of the Trump invasions on our cities. We're going to assume the troops will still be there on election day. We're going to have to deal with that. We will talk a bit about the Ohio scandal. Bob Fitrakis will fill it in, because this nuclear plant where the $60 million in bribes were spent was in fact personally endorsed and lobbied for by Donald Trump. So that becomes relevant in the elections. But let's go right now to the great Charles Stevenson. Charles, if you can unmute yourself again. Charles is a major figure in Democratic politics. He is somebody that we really want on. I think you're still muted, Charles. I unmuted you there. And Joel Siegel has invited you on. You've been on with us before, but if you can introduce yourself and tell us about your role in the upcoming election, it would be really great. Great, and we're honored to have you on. You're still muted. Heard you before.
There you go.
Well, you guys hear me?
We do.
Okay.
You're talking to 70 people.
Okay. Well, look, first of all, it's a pleasure for me to be able to talk to this august body. I'm not sure why I'm talking, but I'll tell you what, I'll share my perspective with you. If you guys know Joel and he asks you to participate, you can't really say no, okay? So just a little bit about myself. I know Joel from working on Capitol Hill. I worked on Capitol Hill for 21 years with former Congressman Ron Dellums. I worked as Ron's legislative director for 21 years. And when Ron decided to retire, he convinced me to go with him. And as you know, we did some great work around HIV/AIDS, and particularly in the United States, and a lot in South and Southern Africa. I mean, as you know, Ron developed the AIDS Marshall Plan, which later on became the global AIDS response. But anyway, so that's how I met Joel, working on Capitol Hill. In addition to my work on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., I was also very active in music. I know most of you guys have never heard of go-go music, but it's a music akin to Washington, D.C., a music that Chuck Brown developed years ago, and right now it's the official music for Washington, D.C. And why that's important? It's because it's the music that really inspired and motivated people native to Washington, D.C. It was the music that they rallied around. And those musicians and bands have become the spokespeople for Washington, D.C., and are very, very much involved in the life and trying to motivate, mobilize, educate folk in Washington, D.C. to participate in their government in terms of voting and just be active across the board. I now reside, after I retired, I came to Raleigh, North Carolina, and I came here ostensibly just to, as my kids would say, to chill out. But once I got here, Harvey, I was asked to serve on this board, the African American Cultural Festival, which is an annual music festival, cultural festival in Raleigh. I got on their board. And then I was also asked to get on the board of housing activists in Durham. I got on their board. And then I was asked to be a precinct chair for where I live. I decided to become a precinct chair. I did that. And then eventually I served as the first vice chair of the Wake County Democratic Party. And bringing my years of activism, I just couldn't get away from it. I've been active in the civil rights, human rights movement for 40, 50 years. And that fire still burns, and it still burns today. So I tell you all that because in talking to Joel convinced me that I needed to work with this grassroots emergency group because I think what you guys are focusing on is what has to happen today. Look, let's get at it. We have to elect a Democrat. We have to elect Biden as president. We have to take 45 out. The issues, I think, are too important right now. And we have to, right now, it's all steam ahead. And so in saying that, and I participated, I think this is my third or fourth call. I think right now my interest is, and I told Joel this morning, is our action plan. I mean, every call, I learn a lot about the issues of what's happening, you know, nationally. But I think right now, what is our action plan? What are we going to do? How are we going to, affect in terms of this election? How are we going to stop voter suppression? How are we going to use all this massive brain power that we have across this country to really, interject and stop this voter suppression? So today, I did have a chat with Seth Morris. And Seth is the person with the North Carolina Democratic Party, working for Biden. They have a coordinated campaign. That's a big yay. And he's responsible for the issues around voter suppression. And he shared with me some of the things that they're gonna work on in North Carolina, which I think is important. And again, Seth, his background, he came to the Democratic Party here from Fair Fight. And that was a good indication that this guy is committed. But
so, Charles, our game plan, our fight plan is to have people like you and who are embedded already in the election apparatus. And you are on the ground like so many other people, but not enough. And you are there already working with the election apparatus, and our trifecta is in your hands and the people like you, which is to protect and enhance the voter rolls, to make sure that vote by mail works, and then to be in place when the vote count comes so that we can protect it. And that is the game plan. And you are the embodiment of the game plan. That's why Joel wanted you on, because you're already in place.
You know, I think I understand that, Harvey. I think what I'm saying, however, is we know what these Republicans, what they're going to try. And having vehicles that we could employ, you know, to combat, you know, and whether or not I think right now, we know they're going to try to have a voter intimidation at the polls. They're going to have their people there. Now, I talked to the Democratic Party here in North Carolina. I think that's one of their shortfalls. They're going to try to have people at these all the polls to try to combat this voter suppression. But I mean, voter intimidation, but I didn't get the sense that that's going to be 100%. So I think that's something maybe that we could focus on to ensure across the country that there's a mechanism to combat. I think we're going to need this. We're going to need that. I think that Republicans they're going to target, quote, priority precincts, and they're going to have their goons there, and we need to have a strategy to make sure that these polling places are protected. That's one thing I'd like to share with you guys.
You're 100% right, and that's the focus of our game plan. We need statewide resources so everybody can know exactly what the law is, and so we can deal with the law state by state. And then we need people like you in the precincts who know what's going on and who can watch the voter rolls, watch the vote by mail, and be ready for the vote count. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And you'd be glad to know, like, the Democratic Party here, they have a voter assistance hotline that they set up already for people to be able to call in and get information. They're recruiting poll observers both in and outside of polling places. They set up eight regional protection directors in the state. And I think that's really good to have people going to be responsible in eight regions in the state to make sure, you know, voter suppression is kept down, make sure that they're getting out the vote, all those kind of things. They're gonna have a legal team of volunteers to man the polls. They're gonna train for voting rights, and they're gonna be able to meet with, you know, community groups who want to be involved in the Democratic Party. But as you know now, they cannot work directly with us or 501c3s or 501c4.
Right. We are officially nonpartisan, and we have taken the Democrats to task for their role in the primaries, and the Republicans mostly now for their roles in the general election. Ruth Strauss has put up a something in the chat about and it's 100% right. Ruth, do you want to jump in real quick and talk to Charles? Tell us about what you put up a link to a Washington Post article. Ruth, are you there?
I didn't put in the link to the Washington Post article, but I'm on a lot of voter lists and I'm keeping up with this. And my concern is that I've heard a lot about African-American youth being disenchanted. And I don't know whether it's specifically with Biden or specifically with voting, but you know, that's an important contingent. And I want to know what you think we can do about that.
Yeah, you know, let me comment. Thank you, Ruth. Let me comment real quick. We are in a generational changeover. And because, you know, historically, election workers, poll workers have been elderly people. And this year, because of the COVID, that's not going to happen. We'll have fewer voting stations, but we will need more election workers, and we have to get a younger generation in there. Charles, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. Let me share with you guys. I was on a call last week, and I don't know if you guys heard this guy named Michael Bivins. He's a singer with New Edition, a very popular R&B singing group, and he's very active in Boston. And we were talking, and they were talking about the fact that, you know, young people are not as involved as we feel they should be. And he took objection with that thought. He says, that's not true. He says, you gotta look at all these protests that are happening in 50 states across the country. Young people are involved. And what he said is, we're just not talking their language. And as an analogy, what he said, look, if you listen to, you know, commercial radio, you might hear six records played that young people actually listen to. He said, but off the grid, there are other music that they're listening to that they're responding to. And a lot of times we're missing that. He says, what's needed in the party is you gotta have your messengers to talk their language. And I think that's what's needed right now. We gotta some kind of way think about how we can recruit younger people who could talk the language of younger people to get them more involved, because they're there. We just have not, and evidence this phone call, we have not come up with a means, how do we get younger people involved? Because they're there. If you look at, again, if you look at the demonstrations across the country, the actions across the country, it's young people. They're just outside right now of the Democratic Party, and hopefully we'll be, we got 99 days, hopefully in 99 days we'll figure out how to get them into the stead roof. But they're there.
That's great to hear, and that's something we really got to work on. We don't have 99 days. We got about 9 days to get them involved. And if you've got the key, and anybody listening, you know, I mean, the best I did was listening last night to Taylor Swift's new album.
There you go.
It is fantastic, and she's fantastic. We got to get her on this case, and that's 100% right. So people, if we can start inviting younger people to these calls, that would be terrific. Fantastic. Charles, is there anything else you want to say?
No, the only thing I want to say is, you know, today, obviously, I was inspired and really touched with the active services of John Lewis and just seeing his progression today. And it really, really touched me and really has more energized me and made me know that this is something that we got to do. And so all I pledge to you guys is that I'm going to continue to get into good trouble, and I'm going to pledge myself, and hopefully you guys will make this pledge too, to get in the way. We got to stay, get in good trouble and get in the way. And I'm pledging to do that, because this is our country and we got to take it back. So
good for you, Charles. It's been an honor. It's great to have you on. Steve Rosenfeld has suggested that he and Mimi jump in real quick and talk about the calendar. If you guys will do that, and Charles, if you'll stay with us, and we do need to talk about the youth vote, and we got to get them in there. Maybe if you could write a rap song and we could put it out, that would be good. But thank you, Charles Stevenson.
Thank you.
And Steve, stick on the line if you can, please. Steve and Mimi, do you want to jump in real quick and talk about your calendar?
I would love to say, Charles, thank you for being on this call. And I was amazed to find out that Reverend James Lawson, who teaches nonviolence here in Los Angeles on Saturday mornings for free, was also the person I learned it from. And I know John Lewis said he changed his life. What I want to make sure you know, Charles, is that this group, I've always felt as an elder that the point was to get the information correct. I've been a poll worker in Los Angeles, and when Barack Obama ran in the primaries and then again for president, the young people and people of color, because I worked up in the North Valley, were disenfranchised by not knowing one tiny rule, which is that if they were listed as vote by mail on our roster, and half of them didn't know they'd ever signed up for a vote by mail ballot, often the party, Democratic Party, enthusiastically signed them up to get a mail ballot. These kids didn't even know anything about that or the rules. They had to vote provisional because they didn't bring that mail ballot into surrender in order to get a regular ballot at the polls. And it would disenfranchise about 17%, 20% of my voters. And they were always the young and minority voters because they weren't, you know, hip to all the rules for 100 years. So I consider it our role as elders in Progressive Democrats of America to get this stuff right. So we're doing a website called 2020votercalendar.org, and it has all the rules, state by state. By the way, it's not up yet because we're getting all the information correct, but we have an overview, and then state by state, what are the rules? If you sign up for a mail ballot, how? If you don't get it, how do you go vote in person? What's your state going to say? Are you going to get a provisional ballot, or can you demand a real ballot if you know the rules? Can you go to early voting and not have people behind you in a 4-hour line if you're going to have a problem with a poll worker? Can you go to early voting? all of that is going to be stepped out, because once young people are like, yeah, I'm going to vote, we need to know that the real information is out there and easily accessible from equally enthusiastic people who know the traps that are being set for those kids and for those new voters and for voters of color and for infrequent voters and for Democratic voters, quite frankly, in red states. So I want you to know that. And it's this call will be the first to know and get that link. We're doing a video. We're hoping to get some good people for the video that the kids might like. But it's all about not just yay, go vote, not cheerleading. We're giving deep down information about the traps in the rules down to the county level and how to stay out of the traps or where to go to get the information, just what the trap looks like and how they can stay out of it. I consider that my job and the job of this call. So thank you.
Thank you. And Steve Rosenfeld's piece, real quick, Steve, you're on the line, about the need for ballot boxes because as I say, we have to talk about not mailing the ballots back, because there may not be a post office and it may be a miracle if you actually get a ballot. We're gonna have to deal with that. I am writing a handbook, which I'll have to in 2 weeks, that hopefully will cover a lot of this detail and will segue in with your calendar, Mimi, and Charles will be available to young people and everybody so that we can understand exactly what we're looking at here in the details, because the devil will be in the details as we get closer. All these polls showing Biden ahead, it mean nothing if we can't get an actual election done. Steve Rosenfeld, did you want to chime in about your calendar and about your article on ballot boxes? Steve, you there? Okay, I don't hear him.
Unmute, Steve. He's still muted.
Are you still muted? I thought I saw him earlier.
He's there, but he's muted.
Okay, let's jump real quick. Alan Minsky is going to join us from Progressive Democrats of America shortly, and we're going to be introduced to some people who, like Charles, are already at the precinct level doing the work.
Okay, can I just jump in for a second,
Harvey? Yes, go ahead, Steve, please.
Okay, so we have a website, 2020votercalendar.org, that's coming up. It's got several categories of content that are timely, and Charles, I would just say to you that I've written voter guides since 2008, and what we've noticed that's needed this year is stuff that's more nuanced than fill out a form, get an application, because there are cracks in between the process. And that's what Mimi's talking about. She's talking about the surrender rule. The other thing, for example, it's ready, it's just not up yet, but we can share it. There are a lot of groups out there that are trying to recruit poll workers, especially young poll workers, but they're not talking to each other. And again, and the biggest efforts, again, just link you to forms to say, to fill it out. What we have found out is what is missing on those links, which is you need to know if you have to be a resident and a registered voter of a precinct or a county to qualify. So we've got that. We've got that all figured out. We just have to get that up and, you know, loaded and out. We talked about early voting. I'm a national political reporter. I write for a nonprofit that distributes my stuff. I've been covering elections in different forms since 2004. One of the things that I just wrote about was a pattern I noticed. A lot of this CARES money, the federal Congress money, or SAVES, whatever the act is called, for COVID, is going to states, and they're buying drop boxes, but a lot of states are buying one per county. Now, that means the city of Detroit in Michigan, where there's 450,000 voters, gets one, and a rural township where there's literally 75 voters gets one. I've written about that. The state election director has said, okay, we'll reconsider it a little bit, but it is a pattern that is out there. It's an example of sounding equitable, but it's not, obviously. And the thing about this is these drop boxes are really cheap, and compared to everything else that has to do with personal protective equipment for the pandemic. So they're like $1,000 each. And they should be in every early voting location and every in-person voting locations so that it doesn't have to be traffic. apparently, this is the important thing, I'll just leave it here, is there are some decisions that are discretionary at the county level when it comes to implementing voting and election protocol. And poll worker training, how often it is one. And another one is drop boxes. You don't have to necessarily follow a state directive to implement that. So I'm just mentioning, this is the kind of stuff we're focusing on. We've been focusing a lot on this month on what are these proactive steps that we can take as lessons from the pandemic primaries. And we're trying to get it on paper and get it where it will soon be posted online so people can use it as a resource. I'll stop there.
Okay, so Steve, we posted the link to your article at freepress.org, and you can link to it through the grassrootsep.org website. And if you'll put it in the chat, the link to your chat.
Sure.
Maybe
sure.
One thing we should argue for is that since there are going to be so many eliminated precincts that won't be there this year, we should demand that there be a drop box wherever there was a precinct place. There were 116,990 precinct voting places in the United States in the 2018 election. So wherever there was a precinct that's been eliminated because of COVID, we should demand that there be a drop box there. That would make perfect sense. Something to think about.
Yeah, okay, we can move it on. Thanks, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
Thank you very much. I'll post those links.
Okay, we want to move now. Real quick, Jed Pauker has a hand, and then Danette and Ruth, you talked. Jed, real quick, you put up a website for people to go to, a link. Jed Pauker? Okay, all right, so let's, and Danette, you had a hand. Did you want to say something real quick? All right, let's go. We'll come back to you. We're going to have Alan Mincy come on from Progressive Democrats of America, and we're going to talk about the grassroots strategy that Charles has laid out by his presence in a precinct. But we do need to cover the issue of auditing. And, you know, this election will be decided after the election. I mean, that's what's going to happen. Everything will be challenged. So, Ray Lutz and John Brakey, can you give us 5 minutes on the auditing that's going to come after the election? Hello? Can everybody hear me? Hello?
Who are you trying to get, Alan? Ray?
You can hear me, right?
I can hear you, but you're not
Ray muted. And John. Ray and
Ray
John.
Ray is muted. Ray is muted. It shows.
Ray's got to be unmuted, and John Brakey's got to be unmuted. And you guys are going to talk about the auditing. If they can't hear me.
They can hear you, but they are muted. Their microphone is muted. It's showing.
Okay, Mike Hirsch, can you unmute? Ray Lutz, you need to unmute. And John Brakey, you need to unmute.
There he goes.
Okay, finally got it unmuted.
Okay, so John, can you give us 5 minutes on the auditing process?
I want to do this real quick because this, of course, is after the election. Can you also let me share my screen?
Mike Hirsch, can we share Ray's screen? And I'm going to emphasize again, you know, it's to the, we need to get to the polls now in all the precincts, but on November 4th, we will be looking at a coup d'etat, and we need people in the precincts to understand that the auditing process is going to be critical to the outcome of this election. So, Ray, can you give us the inside scoop?
Yeah, so this is what I found was one of the most powerful things that we could do to make sure that the elections were clean. And it was sort of a top secret that the election officials weren't advertising very much about the audits that they have to do themselves about their own work. Of course, if you ask somebody to audit yourself, and you know, who's gonna report that they didn't do a very good job? The only way that works is if we have people there to watch what they're doing. And so we went through that, and I have some stuff here. If I could share on my screen, I'll show you the states that we're looking at in the process. But essentially, we want to look at the top 10 states. You guys have started out with 8, but we've expanded that to 10. So I wanted to go over that and the process of looking at the audits that they already have to do. In addition to that, we're looking at ballot image auditing, which is a new thing. But we can do a lot with people on the ground to watch these audits that they already have to do. In most of the states, except for the two, there's 8 of 10 that are doing the audits. Okay, I guess I can't share my screen. So that in Arizona, Florida, Georgia, Michigan, these all have it, except for Georgia and Michigan don't have any audits at all. So in those areas, especially Michigan, we want to try to get the ballot image audits going there and try to get to the ballot images. All the other states that we have on our list, Arizona, Florida, we've been able to watch their pretty crappy audits, but they only choose one contest. And so watching that choice of the one contest is really, really important. And that they can easily do sleight of hand to try to choose a contest like a judgeship or something that's immaterial. In some places, they actually do a pretty good, the rules are they're supposed to do a pretty good job. But the point is that in order to make sure they're doing a good job, we have to be there. Now, I want to bring up one critical thing this year, which is the vote by mail ballots that are expanded because of COVID-19 and people going to all absentee voting or, you know, easier to get no excuse absentee voting. A lot of these areas like Wisconsin, it's not clear in Pennsylvania, Michigan and Georgia and Arizona include none of the vote by mail ballots in the audits at all. So if the vote by mail ballots are growing to more than half probably, we're going to have more than half the ballots not even reviewed. So this is kind of an issue that we're going to have to bring up. Some of the other states like Florida, in theory, they have to include the vote by mail ballots. We'll see. They haven't had that many in the past. Minnesota, in theory, they're supposed to, as well as North Carolina, Ohio, and perhaps in Texas, although I'm not even sure what's going to happen there. Now here, I just want to go over this procedure really quick. This is what you will need to keep in mind, and it's a little bit early to go over this for people, so I don't want to go too much in depth. But we need to get a report that we're going to be comparing with whatever their hand tally is. Now, when you hear the word audit, you might freak out and go, oh, that's too complex. This is very simple. All they're doing is hand tallying some ballots and comparing with the computer report. And so, but we need to be there, get the report in advance, watch the random draw to make sure that it's fair, and then at the end, compare what they got in their reported results against that ballot summary. It's something that as we get closer to being at that time, I want to go over in more detail. Right now, it's a little bit too early to go over that in detail.
But we need to be prepared. We need to have the groundwork laid. And that's
we need to have. And what I do is normally I warn the election officials prior to the election that I want to get this report from them before they do the random draw. This is the most critical thing, is that we have to get the report in our hands and unchangeable before they start random drawing from it, you know, which precincts. Because what we've had in the past is they wouldn't give us that in advance. And then they say, okay, we drew the precincts and we don't know if they changed the report then. I mean, it could have the guy in the back say, okay, just fix up the ones that we just chose. And even worse in Los Angeles, which is not in our target here, but it's a typical thing that they're doing, is they're not
hey, Ray, this is Ray. Ray, hold on just for a second. This is great, great stuff, but we have an agenda, so we'd like to circle back when we get to that point on the agenda, because you're covering a lot of great stuff, but we have to lay the groundwork first. So we're
going to tell you what. Just, let me just finish because I'm just about done.
Please do.
We just need to review those that I said, and then we'll be able to hold it. So it's about a month ahead of time is when we send in that warning to the election officials. That's all.
Brilliant.
I
Great job, Ray.
30 days out, we have to be on top of this. As again, we're looking here. We're 99 days, as Charles pointed out, from the election. But you know, it'll be months probably after the election before we figure it out who actually is going to occupy the White House. So this has to be on our agenda. Ray, we're very grateful that you and John have laid out the basics of the back end of this, and we need to be prepared. And so thank you for that. And John, You've briefed us about the ballot images. We have to know about them going beforehand, because if we don't take care of the ballot imaging before the election, we're not going to have them to deal with after the election. John Brakey has made very clear that all the precincts, every county, and more than 80% of the counties, the precincts in the country, are going to have ballot imaging machines. And they, you get the ballot image. You can't turn the machine on without setting it up to do the ballot image. But if the precincts are going to erase them, which is insane, unless you're trying to fix the election. But if they erase them at the moment of the election, we're not going to have what we need. So though you two guys have done incredible work on that. And as we get closer, we'll keep coming back to you. We are now joined by Alan Minsky from Progressive Democrats of America. And we have been talking with Alan, and Joel Siegel is on the line now. Alan, you look really blurry, but I hope your mind is sharp, because we're going to be talking now about a group that has put people in the field. Are you unmuted, Alan?
I believe so. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Okay. So looking at you, it looks like I'm looking through a foggy windshield, but and maybe I am, but you are going to talk to us now from Progressive Democrats of America. And we have Mimi and Joel on from PDA. There are other, and Mike, of course, is from PDA. And you are the first group that's putting people, well, that we know of, that's been involved in this call, that's actually putting people state by state and in the counties where Charles Stevenson has already talked to us. So please give us an overview of what PDA is doing, and introduce us to some of the people that you're putting in the field, if you would.
Well, you know, this, first of all, I do want to say this is a unified effort. Of course, your effort is itself officially also a component of what you're doing. One of the organizations that you can say your project is in full coordination with is PDA. We're looking to partner with and build upon and our work will be in harmony with the work of scrutineers. So we're all, and you know, the report that Ray was just giving, all of us together, we're going to have to communicate. And, you know, it's very important what Ray was saying, and that the information is going to keep needing to be updated. It's going to take an incredible amount of vigilance. And so what is PDA National and its primary projects doing? Well, we're working with Trust Vote as well, by the way. I shouldn't have forgotten them. And Bob Fratrakis and the great work he does. Of course, Ohio was one of the red hot states in recent presidential elections. And we are working with our national senior strategic advisor on election protection, the great Mimi Kennedy, and Steve Rosenfeld, a journalist. Again, this part of the project with Steve is in partnership with Trust Vote. And to get and collect and access all of the information, place it in one location, a location then that can be shared among all the groups. This is not anything we're trying to do in any proprietary way. We want the information to get out to voters. And of course, we will be focusing on swing states, but we're going to try to bring this everywhere we can. And of course, swing states are not just, I really do think, you know, Iowa, Montana, Colorado, Maine, also should be added to the list because they're U.S. Senate swing states. And whereas North Carolina and Arizona are both presidential and U.S. Senate swing states. But everywhere is important. And in fact, I just wrote a long article about the centrality of winning state legislatures. And if, you know, somehow the Democratic Party, as it's currently construed, can maintain the lead they've had in national presidential polls, Biden versus Trump, and that's a big if. Democratic Party is pretty famous at being able to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, and with all the shenanigans that can go on. But if we do have, you know, a potential or a real Democratic tsunami, it is important to win state legislatures all over the country, because that there are 31 states in which the state legislatures set the districts, not only congressional districts, but state legislative districts. And that is core. Then the gerrymandering that the Republicans achieve in the legislatures they control And by the way, of the 19 states that don't have the state legislatures do them, guess what? They're disproportionately Democratic states or Democratic strongholds. So this is key to the contemporary Republican strategy. And again, what everyone makes of the Democratic Party, obviously recently and ongoing, there's battle in the party between progressives and moderates. If we're going to see the kind of social change that PDA is all about, we have to stop these perversions of our democracy that the Republicans actively pursue. And all too often, the Democrats have no appetite for taking them on. And so we need to do this ourselves. So what are we doing? We're building a website. And if, you know, we might have a bunch of URLs that channel to this website, but at least as its initial launch, it's going under the name of 2020voterscalendar.org. It should be live right now. Get ready for this meeting.
Maybe somebody, Alan, maybe somebody can send the link to the chat room. And I should point out, you raised that. I did not mention at the start, but we have also, thanks to Steve Caruso and Mike Hirsch and Bob Fitrakis, put up our own website. It's up now, grassrootsep.org. And you are listed as an affiliate organization in there. And I urge everybody to go and take a look at grassrootsep.org and give us your feedback on that. So go ahead, Alan, and tell us, where do you have people in states now? And do you have anybody on the call that could introduce themselves and tell us what's going on in those states?
Well, first of all, I want to apologize for being late to the call. I do a weekly national radio spot Monday at 2 p.m., which puts me in drive time on the East Coast, so I'm not going to skip that interview. And so I scrambled over, I had a little connecting, and I haven't checked the participants list, but I checked it enough to see that we have our state coordinator from Arizona, Dan O'Neill, on the call. We have our state coordinator from Florida, Mike Fox, on the call. We have our de facto state coordinator for this project, Joel Siegel from North Carolina, on the call. Then we have, I'm not quite sure. Now we have, we actually have sort of Eastern Pennsylvania and Western Pennsylvania people, but our Eastern Pennsylvania person is brilliant for this. I don't know if he's on the call. That's Bo from Eastern Pennsylvania, but he agreed to anchor our drive in Pennsylvania. And I know that Mike Fox spoke to him yesterday, and he's all on board to do this and to tackle as soon as possible, getting, for instance, all 67 counties and their county election supervisors, the information available to the project and all that stuff. That's what we're gonna do everywhere. Brian Buchan just put up 2020voterscalendar.org, and he moonlights as our Michigan state coordinator. Ohio, we have state coordinator, Nico Mkembe in the Columbus area, but we probably are going to have Mayo follow the lead of Bob Fitrakis, because he's world-class on this stuff. You may have heard of him, Harvey. And then what have I forgotten? Wisconsin, founding executive director of PDA is Tim Carpenter. In Wisconsin, we have the great Jim Carpenter, and then another former state coordinator, Robert Hansen. Also, we'll be reaching out to him as well. He currently is working in elected official's office there, so maybe Jim Carpenter who's going to be doing that. The reason I bring up Robert is because this is sort of more in Robert's wheelhouse for his previous activism than Jim, who's a brilliant peace activist. But Jim is our state coordinator in Wisconsin currently, so he is aware of this as well. So those are the seven swing states that were top line for us. I agree with the expansion to a longer list, and we're, of course, working. Now, we are, you know, we got people all across pretty much every state. A few of the states that we're not that strong in, admittedly, are one of the least states where PDA is one of its lower profiles and lowest profiles is Montana. So we'll try to organize Montana because that's a key Senate election. Just, you know, to use the swing elections as a motivating force. But again, we want to be everywhere. And we're really building out in the Southeast. And of course, we're in coordination with the great work of Andrea Miller, who's focusing on our work for the Center for Common Ground on voter turnout in the Southeast in the country. And okay. And so,
yeah. Well, let's call.
Go ahead.
We have Mike Hirsch. I think we have Mike Fox. Steve Rosenfeld has put in the chat room that the RNC's campaign committee overseeing the election says that if they win 42 state legislative yep. seats, which I'm sure they picked out, they can redraw the maps and win 136 U.S. House seats. Now, this is what they did in 2010 with catastrophic results. And Steve and Mike and Alan, maybe we can find out what those 42 states' legislative seats are and see what we can do about them. Mike Hirsch, you're working with Alan to oversee this, and you are one of the coordinators of the state-by-state, county-by-county thing. Maybe you and Alan can tell us a little more. And we also want to know, if we get people that we know individuals to plug in, how do we plug them in? I have a friend, for example, in Asheville, North Carolina. I'd like to get her on board. Another one in Western Massachusetts. Where do we send people who are asking for what they can do?
Harvey?
Yes.
I want to chime in right before Mike, because I should say one more thing, which is that, well, two things. My phone is not effectively charging, so that's tricky, and I'm worried I'm going to disappear. But right now, let me say quickly then that we, of course, are collecting information from our state coordinators who can get assistance from the people around their state, you know, from the each county election supervisor, et cetera. But we also will use, of course, our network to disseminate information out across the state. And many of the most high-profile hotspots for this election are states where PDA has chapters all over the place. So,
all right, so people can contact Progressive Democrats of America. They can contact me at solartopia@gmail.com. If we have people that want to, I'm getting asked every day now. And what I'm telling people, and we should all be telling people, is to join this call and get on our list. By the way, we're up to 92 people, which is a high. But we pick your county, pick your state, pick your county. I've connected with a friend from Ann Arbor, and her husband is a lawyer, and he's in a lawyer's group in Michigan. And I connected them with John Brakey. So if you have people that need to be connected, especially lawyers, there's also a group called the National Civil Rights Coalition for National Lawyers Commission for Civil Rights Under the Law. I called them. They are training people. And I will put them. We have a slot in the grassroots.org website for affiliates. And I will put them in there. Lawyers especially need to know the state law, and we need to know how to connect them in their given states so that we have that board we're talking about where everybody can call to find someone who knows the law in those states. And I know, Alan, you're going to have people statewide as well. So we're at the point now where we're getting people lining up to do this work. And like Charles Stevenson, they're working with local election boards, and we need them in our network. So Mike Hirsch, did you want to add anything, or Mimi Kennedy, to the PDA approach to building this grassroots national network?
Sure, Harvey. I just wanted to say, we're almost at August. We're less than 100 days out. And I can tell from people who have joined us here and been working with us, there's a sense of desperation and a sense of urgency. And I think that's absolutely appropriate. We're trying to throw together a lot of infrastructure really, really quickly. And I see people asking the same questions over and over. What are the seven states? What are you concentrating on? Please be patient, everybody. One particular person who will not be named, who I have utmost respect for, is pummeling me in the chat, demanding to talk. And this is somebody who has had many opportunities to talk. We don't have a lot of time right now. We need to be serious. We all need to check our egos at the door. Because if we don't work together as a team with zero egos and zero jostling with each other, trying to figure out who's going to talk over everybody else, we're just not going to get it done in 99 days.
All right. So we have to, here's a question we're going to have to ask is, you know, the Republicans are about to cut the $600 benefit to $200. A lot of people are going to lose their homes. Now, one of the questions we're going to have to ask is, how are the homeless going to vote? Are the homeless going to be disenfranchised? And that's a serious question that that we're going to have to deal with structurally. I'll try and put it in the handbook. I don't have an easy answer to that. And, you know, I don't know what organization is going to be able to deal with that. So Dr. Juarez asked, the seven states that we're focusing on are Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida, Arizona, and then Ohio. But there are many more states, Georgia, which has two Senate races, Texas, which Andrea Miller is working in, which seems to be possibly within reach. New Mexico has been a swing state. Nevada is a swing state. Iowa also has a senatorial campaign. Kentucky has Mitch McConnell's seat. Montana has a Senate race. Minnesota has been a swing state, along with New Hampshire. People think it may be safe for the Democrats. No state is safe for anybody, as I think we know. Mimi Kennedy, did you want to talk about how people can plug in with PDA?
Well, yes, you can info at PD America. Mike Fox just put that in there. Send in what you want to do. I want to emphasize that 100 days out, stepping up to do your own stuff is the best way to educate yourself to help anybody else. And I do think being a poll worker.
We lost you, Mimi.
Being a poll worker is going to be the frontline essential workers. They're going to be the people that decide what happens to the voter suppression tactics in this cycle. And I do believe John Brakey and Ray Lutz will cover, deter at least fraud in the count, which has been rampant previously. But I think I'm saying that individuals need to step up with information, and it's going to be available online, certainly from us. If you need to send your name to somebody, Mike Fox, info@pdamerica.org. That's the best I can say now, because you know that organizing takes 5 years, 10 years for everybody to trust. Everybody on this call has worked with somebody else, at least one person, probably many, in many efforts since probably the year 2000, if not longer. And 100 days out, what we need to do is get empowered with the information and share it with each other. I would like to get more people on this call. Do they get you, Harvey, at Solartopia? How do we share? Just say.
Okay, email me at solartopia@gmail.com. Joel Siegel's email is also, you got to go look at the website. It's a very beautiful website done by Steve Bruce, so thank you.
Put those in the chat so we'll have them for people. But I will say, arm yourself with information. Go be a poll worker. You can't do better than that. Join Emily's Scrutineers. You'll find a lot of people in your state also trying to do the same thing. And Ray Lutz and John Brakey, follow what they're doing on Audit USA for the count. That's going to come in very handy after the election.
Okay, we also have another group representative, my beloved Greenpeace, Charlie Cray. You are on with Greenpeace and Falabi. Can you tell us what Greenpeace is doing on the election issue and how people can get a hold of you to work with Greenpeace on this? Charlie?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's Greenpeace doing on election protection?
We are just getting ourselves organized, Harvey. We've been on these calls to, you know, get networked. We're talking with activists about nonviolent civil disobedience training for the day after the election, because we know that Trump won't accept the results if they come in against him. And we folks working on reaching out to our supporter base, people who've done something for us in the last 6 months. We've got probably 500,000 people to reach out and encourage to organize their neighbors, family, friends to vote.
So if anybody who works on the election through Greenpeace and we win, do you get a free ride on the Rainbow Warrior? So I have been on the Greenpeace boats, and it's wonderful. I want to thank Annie Leonard, for the ED of Greenpeace, for getting Greenpeace into this. You do have a huge list. If you will send to us in the chat and to me personally, the contacts that we can use for Greenpeace to get involved in this, we'll put them in the affiliate section of the website. And everybody, you know, we have more than 90 people on this call now. Any organization that you think would get involved in this with a list. I mean, when you say that Greenpeace has a list of 500,000 people, that's spectacular. And if we can reach 500,000 Greenpeace people in the next 10 days to get them signed into this, that would be great, Charlie. So send me the best connections. If Bobby, I know you're involved, that would be wonderful. Now, Joel Siegel has been doing incredible work in networking. Joel, can you talk to us about the networking work you're doing and how people on the call can plug into that?
I'm not really doing much of anything because I think voter suppression is a mythology promulgated by the Chinese. No, I'm kidding. I think everything's gonna be fine. No, I'm kidding. What we're doing now is I'm working with Charles Stevenson, who was, I'm sorry I was late to the call. I had to testify in front of the Charlotte City Council on reparations. But did Charles Stevenson get a chance to speak?
Yes, he did, and it was great.
So right here's the three. Start. Of course he's good. He was Ron Dellum's senior legislative assistant for all those years. I mean, you know, he's the legendary Charles Stevenson, manager of EU, I believe, the great band out of D.C. What we're trying to do is three things. We're trying to consolidate and connect all the groups who are working on voter suppression. Instead of it being a kind of a fragmented operation, we're trying to consolidate and connect based on Harvey's trifecta plan, which is also up on the website, right, Harvey?
Yes, it is. Yes.
All right. So number one, so in North Carolina, what Charles is doing, he's connecting the African-American organizations on the ground with people who work with the DNC, folks who are already working on voter suppression. And I'm working with Mayor Jennifer Roberts, working with state legislators. So we're trying to find a point person in the counties where there's a concentration of African Americans and Hispanics, because that's where the voter suppression is really going to be ruthless.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mike Hirsch. Thank you for engineering, Alan Minsky, Mimi Kennedy. So many of you, it's just a real great. This was the biggest call we've had. We were over 90. We're going to keep doing it. Any organization that you know that we can get a contact with, have them contact us, get into the affiliates list on the grassrootsep.org website. And, you know, we got 99 days, folks. And souls to the polls, it starts now. All right. Thank you, everybody. We will have a meeting next week. We will have a webinar on August 6th. And we're going to keep on rocking and rolling. Please call. Please email. And think about this. We will be conducting an election in the United States of America with troops in the streets dispatched from the White House. That's what we're looking at. But we can beat it. We got no choice. And we'll see you next week. Keep in touch with us. And God help us all.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know?